The gospel reading today, as our Lord gives us this guarantee that the jaws of hell will not prevail against the church, we need to be able to recognize in the context in which he says this. We've talked before about what was going on at Caesarea Philippi and how it had literally become a pantheon, the place where all of the gods were displayed. But also, there's a point with regard to calling Peter the rock and talking about the jaws of hell. If you stand across where the Jordan River begins, because this is where the headwaters of the Jordan are, and there is not only this cliff with all of these niches to the false gods, but at the end of that cliff, there is a cave. And in front of that cave, there's a rock. Well, it's not a rock, it's a boulder. It's almost perfectly round, and it's about 10 feet in diameter. It's a pretty impressive rock. If you stand across where the Jordan begins, and you look directly at the rock, you line it up with the cave that is behind it, it looks like a huge mouth that is about to swallow the rock. But if you get close enough, you realize the rock is about 20 yards in front and nothing's going to happen. But it becomes more important than that, because that cave at the time of our Lord had no bottom. It does now, because there have been several earthquakes that have shaken things enough that now there is a floor in the cave. But back then there was no floor. It was just water rushing through it. Water, again, for the Jewish people, was a sign of chaos, because they couldn't control it. They had tried to plumb the depths of the cave and could not find a bottom. Several people had fallen in and were never seen again. They got sucked up by the current and pulled under, and, of course, just got stuck in the mud underneath there, I suppose, and never came up on the other side. But because they couldn't find a bottom, and because when people fell in, they didn't ever come out, they thought that this was the opening to the netherworld. This was the gate of hell. That was the understanding at the time of our blessed Lord. So when he's saying this to his apostles, it's not just kind of a interesting phrase. It's a legitimate point that he is saying, that it looks like the jaws of hell are going to that are right there. This is the opening to the netherworld. And we've got this boulder that's sitting right in front of it. The mouth of the cave is way bigger than the boulder. And it looks like it's going to try to swallow it up. But there is that guarantee that it will not. And that is the guarantee that all of us must hang on to. Because as I've told you, we're headed for trouble. And so the church is going to be in trouble. There are going to be problems. We know at some point there is going to be what Archbishop Fulton Sheen called the ape of the church. That is a false Catholic church. It's going to look like the Catholic Church on the outside. There'll be rituals and so on like we're accustomed to. And yet, it will not be true. It will be fake. But for those who choose to remain faithful to the Lord, we're going to be persecuted. Again, we need to understand, and the persecution is going to come primarily from the people who call themselves Catholic. So it's all set up to be just like it was when our Lord underwent his passion. In other words, it's going to be the worst that it can be. If we were being persecuted by a bunch of pagans, we wouldn't care. We'd shrug it off and say, "What do I expect?" But when we're being persecuted by a bunch of people who call themselves Catholics, and by a bunch of people who appear that they are following the church, because that's where the hierarchy is, and that's where all this is happening. And so you're the one who's wrong, and I'm the one who's right. Because all these people can't all be wrong. Yeah, they can. It hasn't happened yet, so again, we need to be careful. Because right now, there are lots of people pointing all kinds of fingers all over the place and saying, see, this is what's going on. Look at this, and look at that, and look at what this one did. Yeah, we've got a bunch of bishops who are not good. Let's be honest. We've got a curia filled with people who are not good. But the apostasy hasn't yet happened. So the material apostasy, as I've told you many times, has been going on for years. The formal apostasy has not yet occurred. So don't jump yet, because it's not time. Right now, we're still sitting 20 yards in front of the jaws of hell. When they try to clamp down, that's when we need to take notice. That's when we need to be prepared. And that's when we need to hang on to this promise, because the church is Jesus Christ. And the powers of hell have no power over him. They tried 2,000 years ago. They crucified him. Now they're going to try to crucify the mystical Christ. And she will be crucified, just as our blessed Lord was really crucified. He really died. He really was buried. And then he rose victorious and destroyed the power of death and the power of Satan. And now it's his bride's opportunity to do the same. She's going to meet with the same kind of end, and she is going to be graced with the same kind of glory. The question each one of us needs to ask is, am I going to remain faithful? It's a guarantee what's going to happen, so that part objectively isn't an issue. We know these things are coming, we know that they're going to happen, and we know who's going to win. So that part is not up for grabs. The part that we have to be concerned about is our own soul. Am I going to remain faithful to Jesus? If you look at what's going on and where the apostasy is happening, it's beginning because of the moral teachings of the church. I'm Catholic, but, meaning I don't believe this, I don't agree with that, the church is in the Middle Ages, we don't need to do that, you don't actually have to do this and you can still be Catholic. On and on and on the garbage goes. But since these are the teachings of the Lord himself, you cannot deny the moral teaching of the church and still continue to believe in the true Jesus Christ. And so it's not going to be long before they're going to be watering that part down, which they've been doing, and they're not going to believe in the Lord. And that's where the apostasy ultimately happens. That's what we have to be watching for. But even that, you don't really need to worry. Because as long as your focus is on Jesus, you have nothing to be concerned about. Everybody else can walk away. Everybody else can leave. You can just be there with Jesus. That happens, and the Protestants are going to be right. Me and Jesus, heck of a deal. Yeah, that's not quite the way they mean it, and that's not the way it's going to be, but it's going to be small. And it's going to feel like you are the only one left. Read back in 2 Kings, and 1 Kings, I guess, the prophet Elijah. I alone am left. God said, oh, no, you're not. There are 7,000 people who didn't bend the knee to Baal. Now that's out of a couple of million Israelites. 7,000 didn't apostatize. Elijah thought he was the only one. But throughout the entire country, there were still a handful. And so it will be. There will be a faithful remnant. There will be people who will not walk away from our Lord, who will not apostatize. So even if you feel like you're alone, even if you feel like you're a nut, Even if you give into the American way and think that, well, look, we just took a poll and 99% of the people reject all this, so therefore they must be right. No, they're not, because God cannot be wrong. And I was at St. Agnes, Monsignor Schuller had a little saying that he used rather frequently. He said, you know that when you're right, you know you can't be wrong. Well, kind of states it rather clearly. The teaching of the church are not your opinion or mine. They are the objective teaching of God. They are absolute truth, and they cannot change. So if it was just your opinion, okay, I can change my opinion. I can go along with the crowd. I can do whatever. This isn't about an opinion. This is about the truth, and the truth cannot change. So as long as you know you have the truth, then you know you can't be wrong. Even if everyone else says that you're wrong, even if everyone says the church is in the Middle Ages, even if everyone says that, you know, we've got a new mousetrap and it works a whole lot better. All it did was trap them. It doesn't work. The truth will set you free, period. So you have the truth. Don't compromise it. It's not about being proud. I've got the truth and you don't. No, because it's not mine. It is the Lord. We need to be humble and we need to be faithful. If we are humble and we are faithful, then we will remain with the church, and the jaws of hell will not prevail against her.